Okay, here we go. Chapter 3, Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 23. Wow, a lot of threes today. And it's titled Independent Action. Thank you, Mick and Antoinette. There's a link if you guys want to go to it. Or just go up on the top where it says Sabbath Evening Notes, too. So, all right. Here, starting right off, the first subheading says Departing from the Faith. And it says God is teaching, leading, and guiding his people, that they may teach, lead, and guide others. There will be among the remnant of these last days, as there were with ancient Israel, those who wish to move independently, who are not willing to submit to the teachings of the Spirit of God, and who will not listen to advice or counsel. Okay, no need to comment much on this other than to say, reality, we have witnessed this quite often just in the last few years alone. So going on, let such ever bear in mind that God has a church upon the earth to which he has delegated power. Men will want to follow their own independent judgment, despising counsel and reproof. Again, we have witnessed this just in the last 2 years alone on that one, reproof, where they refuse reproof. They won't even, you know, acknowledge the Matthew 18 theology. So despising counsel and reproof, but just as surely as they do this, they will depart from the faith, and disaster and ruin of souls will follow. And sadly, this is actually happening as well. But so keep that in your prayers. Keep those people in your prayers. And it says, those who rally now to support and build up the truth of God are ranging themselves on one side, standing united in heart, mind, and voice in defense of the truth. And that's, of course, where the latter rain is going to fall more abundantly. The latter rain cannot fall on disobedience. It just won't be there. Non-repentant hearts, people that refuse reproof or despise counsel or refuse to do that which is written in gospel order, the latter rain will not fall on them. It will fall on some around them, but they won't even notice it at all. And even when those that have it falling on them try to share with them truth, they won't notice the truth there either, because a strong delusion has been sent them, because the flesh has become their God, and there's nothing you can do about that. So going on, the next subheading is, it says, Strength from Concerted Action. And it says, the Lord would have all who act a part in his work bear testimony in their lives to the holy character of the truth. The end is near. And now is the time when Satan will make special efforts to distract the interest and separate it from the all-important subjects that should arrest every mind to concentrated action. And this is today in a nutshell. There was a poem or a, I don't think it was lyrics of a song, but some of you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. It was, I think it was in one of the stanzas, if you will, or it was like a discussion where it says, Satan held a meeting in hell. And he was talking to all his demons, and he was more or less, this is what's going on right now, is what they were discussing there, because you can look around and you can see it. He went around and he had these demons go around, obviously, in the world, and people are now all wrapped up in careers, sports, their favorite sitcoms, celebrities, drugs, sex, music, whatever. Keep them busy, 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 busy. Schoolwork, anything. Anything at all. Keep them from. And even when you go into a store to purchase clothing or to purchase food or in an elevator by yourself, music has to be playing at all times. You go to work, even if you're having work that's quiet and you're just doing like mind work, you got to have music playing there all the time. They can't be allowed to be alone with their thoughts. Keep them busy, 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 busy. So, and this is what she's going. You can't have any concentrated action in regards to keeping that walk with Christ. And I praise the Lord that he revealed that to me many, many years ago. And it was so much better now that I went full-time in the ministry. I think it was back in 2002. Yeah, I think it was 2002. I went full-time in the ministry. And I, it's just so much. Now, granted, the places that I was working at the time before I left, there wasn't a lot of music being played, but I had to go into the big cities to do the work. I lived outside of the city, of course, but it was like a two-hour drive just to get to the job sites, minimum two-hour drive. And but the time alone in the car with him, I loved it. On my way to work, on my way back, it was mostly prayer or listening to gospel music or whatever. But usually, well, especially on the way home, it was prayer because it was around the time of my midday prayer. And it really does change a life when you take time out in your day to spend it with your Lord. It helps you focus better and everything. I mean, you can't start the day without it. It's a lot easier to have that concentrated action that she's talking about here. And so, oh, hold on. This is, what about when your sight is pulled offline? No, I still don't know what to do by that time, by the time that happens. You will know what to do by the time that happens. The Lord's not going to let anything happen to where you're not going to be ready for it. He knows what you need to, He knows what you're going to need up until that point to get to that point where you can walk it. Because it might be years, brother, before they knock us offline. And even if they do knock us offline, we still have the teleconference. Like that yellow box kit that keeps popping up in here, write that phone number down because they knock us off the internet. They can't knock us off the phones. I can go get a throwaway phone and have a meeting online. I know a preacher up in Oregon that, well, I don't know, he's had a stroke recently, so I don't know if he's doing it anymore. But he had like a 1,000 or 1,100 people. Well, this is what they were saying. I don't know if it was. Well, I'm not going to call the guy a liar, but 1,000 to 1,100 people, kind of like having gatherings and meetings on those teleconference phone calls. It's unlimited in how many people you want on there, and especially if you pay for it or something. But we got it on the ground floor. It's just like with my eFax account. When I got eFax when it first came out, it was free, and now they keep trying to tell me to upgrade. And I hardly ever use it. But if I upgrade, then I'm going to have to start paying for it. But since I got in on the ground floor, I got the free version. It'll always be free. It's just like I got the free version of that teleconferencing thing, and it's always going to be free. And so I never have to worry about that. Even during the time we can't buy and sell, if I get to a phone, I'm preaching, you know. And I'll be there 24/7 if I have to. I'll just carry the phone and stick it on my head, make sure that battery's always lined up, and where I'm going to get a phone when you can't buy and sell. Well, there'll be ways. I mean, even during the times when they were persecuting the Christians 2,000 years ago, some of the Roman soldiers were helping some of these Christians, because not all of them were evil. The overwhelming majority of them were, yes, and most of them were homosexuals, too. But there were some that had compassion on these people. They understood. So anyway, she goes on to say, an army could do nothing successfully if its different parts did not work in concert. Should each soldier act without reference to the others, the army would soon become disorganized. And this is one of the reasons you see the people that are attacking us on a regular basis, like the person that came in here earlier today. The devil wants to divide and conquer. He wants to do whatever he can to split up the church. What we're doing now, right now, is a major threat to Satan. This is one of the reasons we're having all the problems that we're having. But it's not going to stop us. We're going to continue on working and glorifying the Lord and getting his people ready to the best of our ability. We're going to share the truth, and it's nothing that we're doing either. You share the truth. He wrote it. We didn't write the Bible. And so we can't take credit for any of this. The only thing we could take credit for is trusting him who wrote it and who first loved us. So she goes on to say, instead of gathering strength from concentrated action, it would be wasted in desultory, meaningless efforts, and like the sand ballots of the world. Like back when Nehemiah was trying to build the wall, well, Isaiah 58 says, well, we're going to be rebuilding the wall too. And so since when Nehemiah was rebuilding it, Sanballat came around and tried to slow down the work. Well, he's doing it again. Same demon that was messing with Sanballat's messing with us. And I've been saying that over and over again, and I'll be saying it until that eastern sky splits. We're constantly going to have these attacks. Who cares? They're only going to affect the people that don't believe anyway. And this is like, I was talking about this with Fran the other day and somebody else on the phone the other day as well. And it kind of gets to you. Yeah, when I first started doing this work online, I used to literally start bleeding internally because I'm worried about the church family. And the Lord told me, what are you worried about? I've got control over this. I says, yeah, well, I got to do my job. Yeah, I says, but the thing is, you can't be papal. And I never am. I was when I first became a Christian, and I learned the hard way to knock that off. Because I just came out of Catholicism, and I thought that's the way you're supposed to be. So later on, he taught me, led me in the right path. But my point is, I needed to stop worrying about the people in the church, just like you all have to stop worrying about your kids or your friends or your relatives. Let the Lord take care of it. Just let go, let God. Like me and Fran were talking about this earlier again today. You just got to let go, let God, because we've got loved ones that we're concerned for. But you can't worry about them. The Lord will take care of it. And when it comes to the church family, even if we got down to one person, I'm still going to preach. It doesn't matter to me. You know, but the thing is, the elect cannot be deceived. The only people that are going to be dragged out of this church are going to be people that should have already been in those other churches that are attacking us. And it's not to say that I'm not going to go out there and say, hey, look, I don't want the riffraff anyway. I want them all in here. I want the people in here so they can hear the truth and be blessed. But the Lord doesn't want them in here. And since He doesn't want them in here, I don't either. I want to preach to everybody. Who doesn't? When you're a preacher, that's what you want to do. But Achan can't be in the camp. It's just like a rotten apple can't be in the barrel. It has to be removed. Otherwise, it's going to spoil the whole bunch. It's just common sense. It happens in nature. It happens in reality. It happens in the church, in the spiritual realm. And so, don't let it bother you when you see people coming in here attacking us. Oh, they're going to get somebody to come out like a babe in Christ. Well, yeah, if that babe in Christ is sincere, they'll be back. Because I've seen that happen too. Where a bunch of people left and started going to listen to this one flash in the pan for a little while. All of a sudden they realized the guy was lying and he was false. He was hateful and sinful. Boom, they came back into the church. No hard feelings. Because none of them left with, like, hateful. Now, people sometimes leave bad. And then those, the kind, you know, like the old saying goes, once a sucker, twice a fool. So say, hey, I hope you make it. Hope I see you in the Crystal Sea. But for now, until we see some fruits, major fruits, we can't really let you in the church service because, you know, you have attacked in the past. You have drawn people out. You have caused damage to God's people. And, you know, you got to, like the Lord says, you got to guard the pulpit. You got to be a true shepherd, you know. And amen, the Lord will definitely keep them out, too. Some will try to sneak in and try to pull you out. And another reason they do that, especially like the ones that have been doing, not the guy that was in today. This guy is just a lone, kind of like a nomad. He's on his own, wherever he lays his hat's his home kind of a thing. But those other people, they want to start ministries. They want to start churches. They want to get all, you know, they want to be worshipped, if you will. And so, at least that's the fruits that is being displayed on an overwhelming basis, right? And you got to have eyes. You got to be a fruit inspector. That's what the job is as part of the Christian. And they can't generate souls to listen to them. They can't get people into their churches. And so what do? They go to the churches that already have the people to try to pull them out. And so that's when you're going to have to be careful. But still, again, they can't get the elect to follow them. It's just not going to happen. So, she goes on to say, Christ prayed that his disciples might be one with him, as he was one with the Father. Whatever good qualities a man may have, he cannot be a good soldier if he acts independently. Good may occasionally be done, but often the result is of little value, and often the end shows more mischief done than good. Those who act independently make a show of doing something, attract attention, and flash out brightly, and then are gone. And I should have just kept reading. Remember what I said about the flash in the pan? This was back in the mid-90s. The website was only like maybe 3,000 pages at that time. And I remember that was the term we used back then. We didn't read. I'm not saying it's because she says this now. It's a term that's used often. It's called flash in the pan. Where this one guy came around saying his name was Yosef Yah, and he came around with this idea. Yosef Yah was one of his followers. The guy was Ron Johnston. He was one of the first guys who attacked the ministry. Well, actually, he was like the third or fourth. But the first online in a graphic way where people could see him. But he, and I got a page on the website all about him. He's the 666 man that I, you know, .net guy. He claimed that the next pope would be Pope number one something. You know, like Francis I, but it wasn't. It was Ratzinger, and he chose Benedict XVI. And we did the studies and showed his theology had too many holes in it, and it was false. It didn't match anything with what the Bible said about the number 666 anyway. You know, right off the bat, we knew he was wrong there. You can't use numerology when you're talking about God. He doesn't play games with the numbers like mankind does. And so he was obviously a flash in the pan because a bunch of people ran to what he had to say and thought it and believed it and loved it. And then all of a sudden, Benedict was elected and that was it. His website disappeared. Boy, was he embarrassed. Especially after I put his website back up. Because I knew he was wrong, and I knew he was going to pull his site. Just like Galel Doss when he was going out there saying that John Paul II was going to raise from the dead after Ratzinger left the Vatican. Well, Ratzinger resigned. John Paul II didn't raise from the dead. Francis came in. So what did Galel Doss? He pulled the page. Well, not before I copied it and pasted it on my site. Because you got to rebuke, you got to expose them openly when they declare falsehoods onto the people of God. Because some of the remnant were going over there, some of the elect, but they weren't being deceived long, or they weren't being deceived at all, because eventually they came back into the truth. But a lot of people are getting sucked in by that site, because that guy's got, he's got billions, and he's, the way he makes his money is very, very evil. Very evil. I guess, I didn't know that either when I first met him. But and that's why he's got that very fancy website. He's got the money to do it. So anyway, she goes on to say that all must pull in one direction in order to render efficient service to the cause. And so it's just like with anything else, you can't yoke unequally. It's like you can't have an ox and a horse on the same yoke. They got to be both be oxen, and they both have to be strong. Otherwise, one's going to lean back and you could be going in circles. You got to pull in the exact same direction. And she says, God requires concerted action of his soldiers. And in order to have this in the church, self-restraint is essential. Self-restraint must be exercised. And this is why you see, and I love it when the young people come in here, because I could see these young people that are in here now, and we seem to get an awful lot of them, especially in email. It's God's will, because the days are coming when us old dusty fellas aren't going to have as much energy as we used to have. And we're going to need those young people out there. And they're going to have to be grounded well in the faith. And this is why we see the young people we have here now. And I say young, you could be in your, teens to your 40s, and you're young to me. So, and I'm not that old. And I do exercise, so I'll be here for a while, unless, of course, the Lord decides it's time for me to take a nap. And that's okay, too. But, yes, the young people are definitely going to be used by the Lord in a major way. I mean, even the word says, out of the mouths of babes, so. Anyway, next section says, counsel together, compare plans. And she says, in every effort, in every place where the truth is introduced, there is need of different minds, different gifts, different plans, and methods of labor being united. All should make it a point to counsel together, to pray together. Christ says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven, in Matthew 18, verse 19. This is one of the reasons when I go to lay hands on someone that needs a healing or whatever, I'm not doing it alone. I don't want to have anybody to assume, hey, Nicholas did it. No. that is, no. To God be the glory. Even if it does come down like an emergency and one person has to lay hands on somebody and that one person sees a miracle, it's still not that one person. We all know who does the healing. We have nothing to do with it. It's just the faith of the faith in Christ. But still, it is good. Like if you know someone that's in need, that's why we pray together every Friday night and all through the week. As a matter of fact, we all pray together because it's better that way. She says, no one worker has all the wisdom that is needed. There should be a comparing of plans, of counseling together. No one man should think himself sufficient to manage an interest in any place without helpers. And then she says, one man may have tact in one direction, but may be decided failure upon some essential points. And this is one of the reasons when the Lord sent out the 72, he sent them out two by two. That's where the two comes from. Yeah. He sent them out two by two. Because think about it. Like, where one guy is, like she's saying here, where one guy's strong in one area, but weak in another, the other guy's strong in that area, but weak in the other. And so you complement each other. Like the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And if you're true brothers together or true sisters together, well, then, yeah, it's going to work out fine. You're going to help. You're going to lift up the other as well as the other one lifting you up. And you're just going to grow stronger and stronger in Christ. But if you yoke with someone that's a non-believer, and I always try to tell this to people that are falling in love with people that aren't of their faith, don't do it. Dangerous. Extremely dangerous. And I've got tons of case studies to prove it. All right? I mean, over the years, and all the people that I have counseled over the years, that some of them do take the advice as it is written in the Word. Some of them refuse because they're in love and, and now their lives are living hells. And then sometimes they won't even acknowledge that, you know, because you don't want to do the I told you so thing. Who does? No one wants to do that. But the fact of the matter is, it does not work out. A Christian disobeying the Lord going into a marriage or a relationship for that matter, the Lord's clear. He said, don't yoke unequally. He said, you don't do, like if you're going to disobey him there, then the blessing's just not going to be there. And how come we got a blank section in the, we all of a sudden got a blank section in the text chat there for some weird reason. That looks wild. Anyway, she goes on. This makes his work, let me backtrack. It says, one man may have tacked in one direction, but may be a decided failure upon some essential points. This makes his work imperfect. He needs the tact of another man, of another man's mind, and gift to blend with his efforts. All should be perfectly harmonious in the work. If they can work with only those who see just as they do and follow just their plans, then they will make a failure. In other words, they're not going to let the Lord lead. They're just going to do it the way they want to do it. And then she says, the work will be defective because none of these laborers have learned the lessons in the school of Christ that makes them able to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All should be constantly improving. They should lay hold of every opportunity and make the most of every privilege until they become better fitted for the great and solemn work, for their great and solemn work. And this is something that I've been trying to tell the young people, and most of them get it. Most of our young people do get this. They say, you know, they want to know what they have to do in life. What is it? Like I got an email the other day. What is it the Lord would have me do? Do you speak words of knowledge? Are you a prophet? No. Okay. I just ask, do you read your Bible every day? Do you study the Word every day? Yes, was the answer. I says, okay, fine. Then just wait on the Lord. He's already got you where He needs you right now. If you're reading the Word every day and you're praying every day, you are doing His will right now. It may take a year. It may take 10 years. It may even take a whole week. You know, you don't know when all of a sudden the Lord's going to have you going in a direction that He needs you to go in, and all of a sudden you start a ministry. And like when I started the work that I was doing, I didn't go out and plan to start Presence of God Ministry. I mean, later on, all of a sudden, He gave me the name for the ministry. But I just started sharing my faith. And the only way I knew how to do it back then was with tracts, because I wasn't well-versed, and I, you know, wanted to make sure that I wasn't leading anybody astray, so I did the legwork before I wrote the track. Then I wrote the track so that I knew when I handed it to somebody, I could back everything up in that track with the Word. You know? But I just wouldn't open my mouth because I wasn't very good at, you know, sharing it. Unless somebody was asking my own personal relationship and the things that I've seen. Well, then you couldn't shut me up then. Because I don't mind glorifying the Lord and telling the people what He has done for me and what I've seen. Because I know what happened with Legion. I know when he got cast out. I know what the Lord told him to do when he go in the city. And I know what happened when the Lord came back to that area and how his testimony moved a lot of people to accept Christ as Lord. So, anyway, you are in the Lord's will right now. And when you want to find out what the Lord would have you do, just stay in His will. Stay obedient. You will eventually find out. But here's the funny thing in how He does this sometimes. A lot of times you won't find out until you look back. And what I mean is, you're trying to figure out, what would the Lord have me do? And then all of a sudden, a year or two later, you look back and you realize all these things that have happened in your life, especially if you keep a praise list, a private praise list, and you look back and you see, wow, He's had me, you know, this is all, this happened or that happened or this happened. You can see His hand. You can see all these things happen in your life that brought you to the day you're looking back on, right? And so you're always wondering where He's leading you, and now you can look back and say, oh, so that's where I'm headed. And still you don't know half the time. Well, I would say 90% of the time, I don't know when I put my left foot in front of my right foot what's going to happen next. I just know He knows where my left foot and my right foot's headed. And so it's like, Job 3? Let me get my Bible here real quick. Job 33. Let me just go here real quick, because this is, I was sharing this with Fran earlier too, because we're going to share it with somebody, and I wanted to get her advice. So, let me just go. It's in Job. And this is Elihu talking, of course, but and he's slamming Job to some extent because he's just misunderstanding the whole situation. But the counsel he's giving is true in respect to as how our Lord works. Because I can remember when I was a young man, I used to think, how does God talk to people that just won't listen? Well, the first thing and I got to tell you, this is the question I had on the exact day that I found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I asked him, how do you talk to people that won't listen to you? I was in a midday all by myself out in Aurora. I was set up in a condominium by Metropolitan Life Insurance Company for Product Knowledge all by my lonesome because everybody went home for the weekend, and here I am stuck in this building because my car was broken, right? So I'm just sitting there bouncing, listening to some music and just talking to him because I was at that time I was about, I don't know, I'd already been looking for him and reading the Bible. And so I was talking to him. I says, how do you talk to people that won't listen to you? And the thought came to mind, dreams. I said, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense because captive audience, it's not like they can jump out of the bed anytime they want to. They're snoring. And so I thought, what kind of dreams have I had lately? And then he reminded me of the dream I had the night before. And then before you knew it, I was in tears on the floor and I'll share that later. Check out Job 33, verses 15. And you don't even have to be a prophet to get these dreams. As a matter of fact, I would think no one is exempt from this. Even the wicked are told by God where they're headed. They don't have any choice. He's going to use the wicked as well as the good. Because a lot of times you'll see the wicked are used to help you out. And you didn't even realize it sometimes. But check it out. 33, verses 15 to 17. It says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So how many of us have had dreams in regards to where, like family situations or dreams about personal situations? It's not so much that you're having a prophetic dream. It's just an instruction from on high as to where you're what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing or whatever. And then when you're a follower of Christ, you have a tendency to get these deja vus. And I remember when I was a very young Christian, I had a bunch of deja vus, like when I first started walking with Christ, and they were getting pretty intense to the point I was actually able to control one when a friend of mine and I were driving down the road, and all of a sudden I started having one, and he's yapping away, talking, and I told him to shut up, a young girl's going to scream. And right after I said that, she did, from playing in her yard. It was a playful scream, right? Because they were getting that intense, and the reason I was getting them, now this is my own opinion, because you know what a deja vu is, you think like, man, I've been here before, or I've lived this before, or what's going on, you know? And you know, the wicked will think, or if they ever even get them, I don't know, but they'll think it's like they're psychic or something. But what I believe it is it's not so much you're living it again, it's just that you're where you're supposed to be when he had already spoken to you a year before, or a week before, or 10 years before, in a dream in regards to where he wants you to be on this particular date. Because you're walking with him so tightly on that path, you reminisce while you're driving down the road like I was that day, and the dream comes to mind in a subconscious manner. Because like a lot of us, some people have these dreams, they don't even remember them, like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had that one dream, and he wanted to kill all the wise men because he couldn't remember it. They couldn't tell him what it is. They kept saying, well, tell us the dream. He says, oh, this proves you guys are nothing but, you know, just nothing but lip service. And so he wanted to kill all the men, and that's, of course, when Daniel stepped in and says, hey, well, let me help. But that's just my own, you know, personal opinion. The only way I know how to explain a deja vu is it's not so much I lived it before, it's just that he told me in a dream previously sometime in my life that this is where I would be today. And since I'm doing exactly as he would have me do, I'm just reminiscing. You know, I'm kind of like being reminded that this is, in other words, I had one today too in regards to, it was yesterday, in regards to this these videos I'm making. You know, these quick videos. This is like, I'm supposed to be doing this. This is okay, and I'm going to keep doing it. So anyway, she goes on to say, but God has set in church different gifts. These are all precious in their place, and all are to act a part in the perfecting of the saints. This is God's order, and men must labor according to his rules and arrangements if they would meet with success. God will accept only those efforts that are made willingly and with humble hearts, without the trait of personal feelings or selfishness. And that could be, boy, that runs the gamut, what she's saying here, because of, okay, we understand the willing part, and we understand the humble part. But there's a lot of personal reasons that people will do it, like the guys that say, I'm a pastor, never been ordained, but call me pastor anyway. In other words, they want to be worshiped. They want to be acknowledged. They don't want to do the legwork, like these young people that want to be recognized. They want to be on camera. They want to be noticed. They want to be leaders in the church, right? Like that one guy that was used to be a Baptist minister. He wanted to be declared a pastor in the Seventh-day Remnant movement. I says, brother, nobody knows you. How can you claim to be a pastor when no one's even seen any fruit that you've offered? And then he got all upset, of course, and now he's part of the West Coast problem. But and he's 501c3, I found out. So praise the Lord. The Lord kept him out. We can't have that in our church. We can't have a 501c3 leader in the church. And so, Lord protect us there again. And so, anyway, let's if we can go to this next one. We only got 5 minutes left, but let me just see how far this goes. I know it's going to be at least 2 pages. Oh, blank page. Okay, so 2 pages. So let's, we could probably finish this in the next 5 minutes. It says, practice in the early days. This is the next subheading. And she says, when the cause was younger, my husband used to counsel with men who had sound judgment. The work was much smaller then than it is now. But he did not feel able to manage it alone. He chose counselors from among those bearing responsibility in all parts of the work. And after counseling together, these men would go back to their work feeling a still greater responsibility to carry the work forward in right lines, to uplift, to purify, to solidify, so that the cause of God might move forward in strength. So amen and amen. And that's kind of like what we're doing now. And I just hope and pray that as busy as we are, like we need to have a council meeting and all this other stuff, but, you know, with a hurricane and all that, and now Craig going to the Philippines and everything getting all super busy, we're kind of like, I don't want to say back burnered anything because we haven't, but you know, we have men in our church family now that have the fruits of deacons, and so and they're already doing the work of deacons anyway, so it really doesn't, you know, the Lord's already obviously moving on some men, because the work is getting intense, the church is growing immensely, and we do need to spread out, if you will, you know. I was even thinking if we don't go with the new T1, just have 2 different church services, you know, like have 2 preachers, kind of a thing. So anyway, but they would have to be at 2 different times of the day, though, because having everybody in the church service at one time, it's going to, you know, strain the bandwidth, unless we get the new bandwidth. So she goes on to say, independence, well, this next subheading, it says, independence, a delusion of Satan. And it says, it is a delusion of the enemy for anyone to feel that he can disconnect from agencies which God has appointed and work on an independent line of his own, in his own supported wisdom, and yet be successful. And this is something that some people that have left our movement, that want us to be part of the church again, even though they left us, they want us to claim or declare them SDR, even though they're out there saying that they are, but they don't. They don't have the fruits of SDRs, and they're in open sin and all this other stuff. They say that we're trying to be independent and all of a sudden. No. This is not what we're doing. We cannot. They can claim that we're being independent all they want. We're not doing that. We can't yoke with sinners. Okay, we may appear independent to them because we refuse to be part of their number, but, you know, we're not independent. We got churches all over the world. So praise the Lord for that. Mostly, you know, home churches, except for in the Philippines. There's some huge, bigger buildings there. Anyway, she goes on, although he may flatter himself that he is doing God's work, he will not prosper in that end. We are one body, and every member is to be united to the body, each person working in his respective capacity. And so you got to have toes in the church just as much as you got to have heads. And some of the people that are ordained to be toes that want to be heads are going to throw a monkey wrench in the works, if you will, like we've seen recently. And they want to have positions that they're not ordained to be in, and that's going to cause a problem. And so the shaking occurs. The Lord asks them to leave, and then he will put people in the positions that they should have been in. And eventually the toes will work their way up and be heads, you know. And so she goes on, it is not a good sign when men will not unite with their brethren but prefer to act alone, when they will not take in their brethren because they do not just exactly meet their mind. If men will wear the yoke of Christ, they cannot pull apart. They will wear Christ's yoke, they will draw with Christ. And again, this can be used against us by those that want to use it against us. But the difference here is that the key, what she's saying, they don't exactly meet their mind, and they'll say, well, that's what they're saying about us. No, it's not a matter of mind when it comes to someone who's in open sin. I'm not going to join with a Roman Catholic. I'm not going to join with a Seventh-day Adventist any more than I would join with someone who claims to be SDR but is an open sin. You're like, you know, sin before the masses. That's not SDR. Okay? And then she says, as we near the final crisis, instead of feeling that there is less need of order and harmony of action, we should be more systematic than heretofore. All our work should be conducted according to well-defined plans. I am receiving light from the Lord that there should be a wise generalship at this time more than any former period of our history. And then the last thing she has here, which is perfect because I think we got 1 minute left, she says, oh, how Satan would... the subheading is Thorough Organization Essential. And she says, oh, how Satan would rejoice if he could succeed in his efforts to get in among this people and disorganize the work at a time when thorough organization is essential, and will be the greatest power to keep our spurious uprisings, or to keep out spurious uprisings, and to refute claims not endorsed by the Word of God. And again, this happened recently with the Ron Wyatt stuff. It's not endorsed by the Word of God, so we can't have any part of it, right? No matter how much they seem that they could be used by God in the major way, because they got some nice fruits. You know, you can't join truth with heresy. It just can't be done. And she says, we want to hold the lines evenly, that there shall be no breaking down of the system of organization and order that has been built up by the wise, careful labor. Or by wise, careful labor. A license must not be given to disorderly elements that desire to control the work at this time. Some have advanced the thought. And by the way, that is a matter of control. In other words, if you don't believe what they believe, then they attack you, which means you, if you don't believe what we believe, you must believe what we believe if you want us in your church. And if you don't want us in your church, then we're going to attack your church. And that's not Christianity, especially when they're not leaders in the church. If the leaders in the church are telling them what they're preaching is error, back off. You just got to, that's what gospel order is all about. If it's not true, you know, it's not, you know. And even if your leaders are wrong, eventually you may come to, you know, reveal the truth to them, but you know, that's not how you do it. You don't go around slamming the leaders. You do some good, careful study, which wasn't the case here. So anyway, she goes on, some have advanced. And the reason I keep bringing stuff like this up, because these are case studies. If you've noticed the way I preach, this is the way I preach, okay? Because a lot of people say, why do you bring it up? Well, for the same reason I bring up walking on a girder 75 feet across, above a dry creek bed one day, and some guy wants to push me off. It's if the Lord reminds me of certain things that are beneficial to the truth I'm sharing, like in experiences that I've gone through, I like to use them in sermons and stuff because it's educational, if you will. It helps to, it's pictorial. It's an easier, because we all know pictures are worth 1,000 words, and so it's a lot easier to explain something using an experience that someone's gone through. The thing about the beam, I don't even know why I brought that up, but but that, you know, that was a weird situation in my life, but I praise the Lord, I was protected. Even the angels were there then, when I was a lowlife. And that I did call myself a lowlife back then, because I was a lowlife. So she goes on, some have advanced the thought that as we near the close of time, every child of God will act independently of any religious organization. But I have been instructed by the Lord that in this work there is no such thing as every man's being independent. The stars of heaven are all under law, each influencing the other to do the will of God, which is obvious. I mean, I love the way she puts that too, each influencing the other to do the will of God. There isn't a star out there that's just sitting by itself. The gravitational pull of the other stars around it. I mean, look at our solar system alone. We're spinning around that big old ball of fire 93 million miles away from us, right? Well, so is Venus, Mercury, Mars, and all the rest of them. They all influence each other. And she says, they're yielding their common obedience to the law that controls their action. And in order that the Lord's work may advance healthfully and solidly, his people must draw together. So amen and amen and amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, I had some stuff on Ron Wyatt about, I would say 10, maybe even 15 years ago. I don't know, it was a long time ago. I did some research on him. I saw him as a false prophet back then and a false teacher back then, and I just tabled it, because no one in the church was having an issue with it. And all of a sudden, recently, someone did. So I pulled out all the old dirt that I had on them and did a quick study. And it was, that's why I praise the Lord about some of the research and some of the questions that the people have asked me over the years. Had I not done the research back then, I'd still, you know, that was a big job I had to do. The main reason I knew that was a problem with Ron White is where he said the Ark, the Noah's Ark was. Right off the bat, I knew the guy was a problem. That was my first track. And I saw the photos of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, and it wasn't shaped like this weird boat that he says went on the other area. No, the real one is, of course, surrounded, I mean, by people that will kill you when you get up there. But there, people have snuck up there. But yeah, that was one of the first things. But that wasn't the only thing, of course. His theology was way off into left field. And, you know, the Lord, you got to go by the standard of truth, which is in the Bible. And it's the only way to go. And I didn't even have Ellen White's writings back then. I didn't even know who she was back then when I found out about Ron Wyatt. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.